up their minds what they want to be. It's great. It's good to have ambition. Except that they do not believe that there is a process for reaching their goals. See, that's the problem. There is a process of reaching goals. There was this theorist in sociology, Emily Durkheim. Emily Durkheim was one of the founding fathers of sociology. And he talked about anomic theory, the theory of anomie. Anomie is a French word meaning normlessness, breakdown of law and order in society. And look at the time, this was 17th century when he was writing, you know, observing the society, what was going on, and then try to put it into, you know, that people don't follow due process anymore. For example, there are cultural goals through which we all buy into cultural goals to be achieved. But those cultural goals, they are means. They are cultural standards, cultural means of achieving those goals. But people don't want to wait to go through those goals, through those means anymore. They just want to get to the end as soon as possible. That is why you see teenagers being engaged in money-making ritual. It has turned to something else in Africa now. You just have to be careful the taxes you are taking. You just have to be careful the bus you are taking. Even if you are taking a bus. In those days, it used to be solely. But nowadays, I understand they even go to the garage and load people whom they are going to sell to money-making rituals. Young drivers, young conductors. In their early 20s, they want to become multimillionaires. People are no more following process. People are no more interested in incremental success. And this made me to study this passage we are looking at today, this morning, Exodus 23. In that passage, God was rolling out details of his plans and strategies for bringing and establishing Israel into the promised land as part of God's strategies. Look at what he said in verse 28 to 30. I will send hornets before you, which I drive out the Hivites, the Hivites, okay, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year. That was God talking now. Said, why I'm not going to do this is because the land will become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. So when I read this strategy, I started to ask myself, God, why did you choose this method? Why wouldn't you drive out all these ites from the land at once? Allow Israel to rest from their journey. After all, they've been journeying for the past 430 years into slavery, and then another 40 years before they enter the land. Why don't you just allow them to just keep the land, drive all these current inhabitants of the land, and let them rest from all these their problems? After all, you are God, and you can do all things. Why don't you command the beast of the land not to come near his people, your people? Or why don't you just stop the beasts giving birth to smaller beasts so that they don't become numerous enough to threaten Israel? I asked myself all these questions. I also thought within my mind that, God, you could make the beasts to become friends of Israel. At least it happened in times of Daniel. Okay? So they cannot harm Israel. Or you could empower Israelites to tear to pieces any beast who attempt to harm them. You know, just as David, you know, as a shepherd, tore the lion and the bear. As I was doing like this, I began to get some answers. Yes, God is capable of doing all these things that we have outlined. But instead, Number one, God wanted Israel to grow up naturally to dominate their environment. Amen? God wants you to grow naturally to do what? To dominate your environment. God could have used the microwave method, but he chose to use the stove method. Israel has seen water coming out of the rock just by Moses' rod, striking the rock, and they have seen the Amalekites defeated just by Moses raising up his hands. You know? But God wanted to train Israel so that everything was not going to be done by miracles. God wanted to train us so that when we encounter problems, when we encounter step-by-step miracle, when we encounter step-by-step increase, it is because God is trying to do what? To train us so that we can become golden vessels in his hand. That was the mistake Gehazi made. Remember, it was this Gehazi that God opened his eyes to see that they were surrounded by shadows of what? Fire. When he thought that the king of Assyria has come to arrest him and his master, he was to become a golden vessel in the hand of God, but lust for money and ambition for quick wealth made him lose it. You will not lose the kingdom of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Number two, God wanted Israel to use the power invested in them to create a conducive atmosphere for themselves. He wanted them to learn processes and the natural order of things. He wanted them to learn hard work and patience. So, in my school, you will see the posted on the wall. The scholarships are there. Search for them. The problem is that many students don't have the patience. Once they get onto online and they saw the thing, and this thing is asking for your statement of purpose, reason why you think you should be qualified for the scholarship, why you should be the only one considered for the scholarship and not others, as well and so forth. Many students don't have that patience, they abandon it. And the scholarship won't come. But those who have the patience to sit down, to answer those questions meticulously, do get the scholarship. And that is hard work and patience. And that is part of what God is teaching us. So when that increase you are looking for is not coming the way you wanted it, it is because God wanted you to learn the process and the natural order of things. He wanted you to learn hard work and what? Patience. Number three, God has never deceived anyone with respect to his plan and preferences for us to walk. God has never deceived anyone. For example, when he created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden so that they have a place to start from. He handed over to them responsibility of maintaining the garden. You read Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and so on and so forth. He wanted them to walk to subdue the earth. Genesis 1:28. God could have told them to speak out their wishes, and they will automatically come to pass. But God wanted to prove to them that he is not a magician. God respects processes and procedures. That is the reason he was so detailed in the instruction he gave to the children of Israel as well when they were leaving Egypt. So, one of the definitions of success that I had several years ago is progressive realization of set goals. You set your goals, and then one by one, you'll be realizing those goals. You are making progress. And this means that every progress we make towards the achievement of that goal is a success. Every process, every step you take in reaching your goal is a success. So just by getting Israel to the promised land was a great success. And part of the agenda was for Israel to drive out the occupants of the land, and God would have just spoken the words to the people, get out, and they would have gotten out. But he couldn't do that. He put a plan for them. Say, I will drive out the people little by little, so that beasts do not come and overrun you. Say, until you multiply, and then you can take off. So the question this morning is, are we willing to pursue the incremental steps that are necessary for us to reach our goals? Are we willing, as children of God, as workers in the ministry? For we are all workers, whether we like it or not. Whether you come for workers meeting or not, the moment you give your life to Christ, you are a worker in the ministry. Everyone wants to become CEO, but there's a process for getting there. Everyone wants to become a director, president, or prime minister, general overseer, or some other positions that are willing, but they are not willing to follow the process. That will create a problem in our lives. Or are we willing to steal, to kill, to maim, to generate bad reports against our leaders so that we can take their places, or take some other ungodly steps and claim that the end justifies the means? I believe as Christians, we don't want to do that. But when you look at what is going on, I don't know whether you received the WhatsApp message that actually made me to start thinking and say, what is going on? I think it was sent to everybody. I don't know. It was even said in local language that every one of us trying to take buses to travel out to other cities, either in Ojota or Oshodi, from Benin, from Ibadan, anywhere. He said these boys take 150,000 naira. You know, that's about $300, I think, on each individual head. So they will load the bus, 14 or 18. They will drive to the middle of the road and tell you that there's a breakdown. And then they will say, don't worry, we put you in another bus. Then they call. The people they are calling are the kidnappers. They load you into a new bus. By the time you are waking up in their camp, ready to be slaughtered. You know? Somebody who escaped the incident eventually reported to the police. And then 4 days later, was able to recognize the bus and the driver and the conductor at the garage again. And they were arrested. And that was how the whole thing. People are no more interested in incremental success. We have to be very careful. It's a good thing to work towards growth. It's a good thing to work towards promotion, towards becoming number one in our fields or chosen career. But we must be careful not to soil our hands or have the minds of achieving things at all cost, like Gehazi did. And this will translate to mean that we are willing to take measures that God will frown at. God wants us to follow his steps. Remember that the blessings of God make it rich and have no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. Then if you also look at Proverbs 13:11, it says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whosoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Amen. So, what I want you to know that million devils cannot stop God's plan for you We have all been there. I remember when I was in school of nursing, long time ago, in the 70s. Yeah, in the 70s. No, late 70s, early 80s. I have a roommate. We all, one way or the other, complain about the school because many of us are not finding our way ourselves where we thought we could be. We are thinking we should be on college campuses, not on a school of nursing, being used, you know, like slaves and things like that. There are certain rights, you know, as teenagers, as youth, there are certain rights that students have in some colleges. We don't have it in school of nursing. And we all be complaining. And I have this roommate. On his desk, progress can only be delayed. It can never be stopped. Whatever you will be that God has proposed for you, you will be it. It may be delayed, but it can never be stopped by millions of devils, no matter what. You will achieve your progress in life in the mighty name of Jesus. Our children will achieve their purpose in life in the mighty name of Jesus. But we've got to be careful. We've got to have that sense of hard work, tenacity, and ready to move on. When you look at what is going on, people wanting to become rich quick, it's because we have lost the purpose. And that's exactly what happened to Gehazi. He lost the hope. He forgot that dishonest money will dwindle away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So please, don't cut corners. Let's learn the attitude of working diligently with our hands, and the Almighty God will bless us and prosper us in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, I want us to stand up, and you will pray unto the Lord. In every area we are lost, has crept one way or the other into my life, Lord, have mercy. In every way we have lost it, against things that does not belong to me, or things that you did not even plan for me, Father, I cry for mercy this morning. Have mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. God can never deceive you. Even the tree of the knowledge of evil and good, if you read the Bible, it was at the center of the garden. It wasn't hidden away. Recently too, I was asking God, why did you put it at the center? Why don't you hide it away for these people so that they won't see it? But God put it in the center so that they can see, and God has advised them, do not go there. This is death if you go there. Okay? Do not touch it. Do not desire it. But isn't that you give them the free will to decide? Free will. It is that free will that most of us, many of us, are misusing. Father, direct my free will for your purpose in my life. The free will that you have given unto me, Lord, direct it for your purpose. In the name of Jesus. The free will that was given to Gehazi was misused. He left his master. He went after Naaman. And the leprosy of Naaman came upon him. The free will that was given to David made him to commit suicide. Sorry, made him to commit adultery against one of his soldiers' wives. Can you imagine? We have seen pastors sleeping with teenagers, children of their members in the church, because they are misusing the free will God has given unto them. Father, direct that free will, Lord, for your purpose to be achieved in my life. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want my name to be removed from the book of life. Help me. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want us to pray this morning. Father, remember me. Because at times when you have waited for too long and things you want to come are not coming, you begin to cut corners. Father, remember me. Remember me for good. Remember me because I come to your presence. Remember me because I have come to worship you. Pray to God this morning. Say, Father, remember me. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. It is when some of these youths think that they have been forgotten that made them to cut corners. Lord, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Write my name in the book of life. Write my name in the book of life, Father. I refuse, O Lord, to misuse the free will that you have given unto me. I stand by you. No demons will take away your purpose from my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Finally, we are going to pray, Father, let your hope never depart from me. When we have hope, because what makes many of us to cut corners is when we look at the whole thing and there's no hope. And we think there's no hope. And look, the hope we are talking about is Jesus Christ. When you have Jesus, you will have that hope. But when Jesus is not in the life of that individual, or when Jesus has disappeared from the life of an individual, hope is gone. That is why you see people committing suicide. Father, let your hope never depart from me. Renew my hope in you. Father, renew my hope in you. Renew my hope in you, Lord. Renew my hope in you. Give me the courage. Renew my hope in you, Lord. Do not abandon me. Do not abandon me. Let my case not be like the case of Gehazi. Help me. Talk to God. Thank you, Father. Is there anyone here this morning? In one way or the other, you have lost hope. I am imploring you this morning to renew that hope. Confess it, that the hope of God is alive in me. It's alive in my brain. It's alive in my thoughts. Jesus Christ is alive in everything that I do. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive to meet my needs. He's alive to hear my prayers, to answer my prayers. Jesus Christ is alive.
In Jesus' name we are praying. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let's stretch forth to the pastors that Lord Almighty, we anoint it more. and more in the mighty name of Jesus. That, Lord, we remember him in the mighty name of Jesus. His case will never be the case like a gizzard in the mighty name of Jesus. That, Lord, whatever you have been trusting God, Father, Lord Almighty, we do it for him in the mighty name of Jesus. That all his word that spoke to us this morning will not stand against him on the day of judgment in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we are prayed.